Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
What's up, everybody? It's the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. With me, Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell, also of Dogs 24/7. Got a lot to talk about. Georgia got a commitment. Four-star tight end Oscar Delp. That makes 7 four-star tight ends, or ranked higher, 4-star or higher tight ends since Kirby Smart has started signing recruiting classes at Georgia. We're going to talk about Oscar Delp here a little bit to lead off the show. Then we're going to talk about one big thought going into this Georgia-Kentucky game, top 11 matchup between these two teams, SEC's two undefeated teams remaining here in Athens tomorrow, or not tomorrow, I guess. I guess if you're listening to the podcast, it'll be tomorrow. Day after tomorrow, if you're watching this live YouTube show. And then we're going to talk about our picks. We're going to give our picks, player of the game, scores, and really get after it. But before we get started, hit that subscribe button. Give us a shot. Know when we're going to do this, and definitely tune in every week, because we're only getting better and better, and we're enjoying it. We're loving it. So, Rusty, Oscar Delp, 4-star tight end, top 100 overall prospect in the country. He's number 3 tight end in the country per the composite, number 2 according to the 24/7 Sports in-house rankings. What's Georgia getting here?
You know, I was sitting with some recruiting guys, some guys we know and friends of ours in the business, and when you haven't seen Oscar Delp in person, it really kind of surprises you how big he is. I mean, he is legit 6'5", and 228 pounds, and you know, sitting there talking to him last night, I kind of knew a little bit of the story, but it kind of reminds you, like, his mom is a South Carolina grad. His grandmother is a South Carolina grad. They have a house 2 blocks from Williams-Brice Stadium. I mean, they can see the lights. His uncle played for Clemson. His father went to University of Michigan. So when you look at that table, the only school that didn't really have the connection was Georgia, other than being 45 minutes away. So, you know, this was a kid that was really had connections other areas. Mom, Mary, she didn't hide the fact that she really loved Shane Beamer. She's a huge Gamecock fan. But at the end of the day, it's her son. It was his decision. And Oscar felt, he felt Georgia, Todd Hartley, told me a little bit before we went on the air that this has been a silent commit now for a while. And he really just – he wanted to see Georgia play. He was going to commit in August, but he wanted to see Georgia play. You know, they kept saying they're going to do this and do that. When Brock Bowers come out and has done what he has done, how Georgia has used him, he's been to Athens a lot more times. You know, talking to him last night, he's been to Athens a lot more times than it was reported. I can tell you that. He's been down there a lot. So he's very familiar with us players and things like that. So it was a big get. You know, he's a very fluid athlete. He's that new age tight end. I mean, but the thing I'll say about Oscar, he can block. Now, he's a physical kid. He can get on the edge and block a little bit too. So he's not just a hybrid slash wide receiver out there. If they have to put him on the edge to block in a goal line situation, I think he can block an SEC defensive end. But I saw Todd Hartley's Instagram last night, and he was out celebrating with his wife, and he should be, man, because Todd Hartley is stacking that room, and Kirby Smart's going to have to write him a different contract probably at the end of this year, because his room is stacked and Todd Hartley's doing a great, great job, and probably not done there with news in that room sooner than later.
Kip, you brought up the fact when we were leading into this, not to bet against Todd Hartley. Talk to us a little bit about what Todd Hartley has done in these past 3 classes, and also, your general thoughts on Delp.
Yeah, I mean, even before he got to Georgia, I mean, at Miami, he was an outstanding recruiter and had brought in the nation's number 1 tight end, Brevin Jordan. you know, down there. He's a guy that just really, really works on relationships, and he's definitely a relentless recruiter. I mean, that's definitely his style of recruiting. He's going to make sure if you're a priority, you're going to know it when Todd Hartley's recruiting you. It's just he makes sure he knows who you have in your circle, who you're close with, and he builds connections with those guys too. And yeah, I mean, since he's got the Georgia, he's just kind of continued that. I mean, he helped Georgia, you know, not just at tight end. He helped them with Carson Beck, with connections there, and making sure they had a quarterback, you know, in the last cycle as well. And Darnell Washington, I mean, he had those connections with Brevin Jordan in Las Vegas. I mean, getting a top prospect out of Nevada and just going back and being able to do it again, you know, having those established connections when you have another elite prospect that, you know, maybe it just kind of worked out for Todd in that avenue, but he made sure that he used it to his advantage. And so, yeah, throughout his career, he's been just known as a relentless guy and a guy who's making sure to make connections wherever he's at, because you never know when they're going to come in handy. And, you know, with Oscar Delp, I think it's just a situation like Rusty said. This is a guy that really told Georgia, everything you're telling me, you know, over the summer sounds good, but I need to see it on the field. And he was a guy that could have made a decision going late into the summer. And, I mean, would it have been Georgia if he had decided back then? Now, that's tough to say, but he made that decision to wait until the season started. And I mean, now, you know, you've been able to see six games of Georgia and see the tight end position catch 24 balls for 374 yards and four touchdowns, and then even see a tight end get an end-around touchdown run. I don't think that you can make a much better pitch to a prospect than how that Georgia's used to tight end and Todd Monken's offense so far this year. So, you know, I think it made that decision, you know, with each week, as he said, it made it a lot easier for him. And, you know, the only thing I'll say about, you know, as far as him as a player and getting that style of tight end, it's tough for him because now Brock Bowers has kind of set the bar unbelievably high. And as a prospect, Brock Bowers, I mean, we knew, we had verified testing numbers that this guy was a freak athlete at the position. And from everything that we had heard out there is that he's intelligent and a great blocker, a tough player as well. We know that, you know, that Georgia's landed another guy in Oscar Delp that kind of has the same mold and the same build. It's just tough to say, hey, they got another guy like Brock Bowers. All we can say is that Todd Hartley stacked that position room, and he's got guys he can do a lot of different things with, and adding him to the mold is only going to help. And as Rusty said, and I said in the other podcast, I mean, you look at 2023, 2024, Todd Hartley, he's not taking that foot off the gas. He's making sure that he continues to stockpile that room, and he's got multiple guys, because I think it's clear with Georgia running, you know, a lot of 13 personnel out there, they want a lot of tight ends that can do a lot of different things, and they want guys that they can put in motion before the snap to really confuse defenses. And I don't think that's going to be an issue with the way Hartley's recruiting right now.
I gotta bust in, Jake. I'm gonna bust in.
Yeah,
my
go
man,
ahead.
My man Victor Lowe right here is checking in from Malaysia. My man, I don't know. It's midnight, so maybe you had a couple, but glad to have you, my man, from Malaysia.
Yeah. I was noticing the same thing. I was definitely going to point that out.
That is
the midnight viewing.
That is a yo and a worthy of a mention. So, man, glad to have you from Malaysia.
We're big in Malaysia. We're big in Malaysia.
We're huge. We got a big Christmas album over there coming out. So,
cheers, Victor.
You'll love it. You'll love it.
We're hot in the Malaysian streets. Okay, we are hot in the Malaysian streets. Got Derek Durham also lives in Lexington. Grew up there. Georgia needs to win, so Derek doesn't have to deal with rowdy Kentucky fans. So, you know, Kirby. Smart if you're listening, if you're tuning in today, like we know you are, hook up Derek Durham here with a win because he needs it. Listen, Georgia's looking here to kind of get their version of Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson here, a couple of highly drafted tight ends. You know, they're wadding them up here, different styles, different guys. You know, got Darnell Washington being what he is. You know, you've got Brock Bowers and and Oscar Delp coming in. I mean, Georgia's got some guys here that have the potential to be high draft picks and to kind of continue to set this program up. Listen, Georgia's never had a problem really recruiting tight ends. I mean, there may be a gap here or there, but I mean, you go all the way back to, you know, Jermaine Wiggins, Larry Brown, and Leonard Pope, and LB. You know, yeah, we're going way back there. I mean, you know, Orson Charles
Randy McMichael.
Either one of you
know what high school Larry Brown went to. Don't touch your keyboards. It's no longer school, but it
I have no clue.
Yeah, I remember
that. I have no clue.
You remember Krim High School?
I do. Alonzo Krim?
Krim High School put out a lot of talent. Larry Brown was one of the last guys there.
Where was that? I think
Krim went into Stevenson.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. So, gotcha. That makes sense. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I had no idea. I remember a lot of those guys from those days and where they were from, but
I'm a tad bit older than you pups. So Krim was an early 90s, pretty good Atlanta area high school, put out a lot of players, but Larry Brown played basketball there and I heard that name.
It was on a different year as far as basketball and football. Like, he had eligibility left in one whenever the other one was up. And I remember him catching a double pass from Michael Greer, I believe, in the 98 game. George ended up losing that one. Kind of a tough call at the end of that game, caused him to lose it. But, Larry Brown was a good one. Then you get all the way up to Orson Charles and Arthur Lynch. And even as far as recruiting, Nadarius Ward. Everybody wanted Nadarius Ward out of California. And he didn't work out at Georgia, but – he was still legit. I mean, big time prospect and a guy they had to fight real hard for. That's actually one position that Georgia has recruited nationally at a pretty high level for probably the past couple of decades. They've been able to go out and, you know, get Arthur Lynch from Massachusetts and, you know, get Orson Charles from Tampa, which they had a pipeline built there with Aaron Murray anyway. And then, you know, going out and getting Adarius Ward and some guys from all the way, you know, all across the country. So, you know, tight end is strong in Athens.
Everybody's familiar with the hobnail boot play, Veron Haynes, right? But I don't think many people talk about that catch Randy McMichael made to get him down to the 20.
Right.
I mean, that ball, he was contested, two guys hanging over him, and, you know, David Green had to take a chance to throw one in the middle of the field in coverage, and Randy McMichael would have got that ball, so that enabled him to get down to that end zone.
Doesn't I believe he had a couple of nice catches on
he
that
did
drive.
Have a couple drive, but that one ball over the middle, man, he went and got that thing, and Peach County stepped up in that game for sure.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about one main thing going into this game, Rusty. We're going to go you, and then we're going to take a break here real quick. But main thought all week long, Georgia-Kentucky, what are you thinking?
I say it every week. I mean, it's the theme. If you're elite, you win this game, you're a three-touchdown favorite for a reason. I think Kentucky is drastically improved. Mark Stoops does a hell of a job. This is not a game you want to be banged up in, and they're banged up in some crucial spots. A wide receiver, those two D tackles being out. You got to win some one-on-one battles out on the edge. I'm interested to see how Georgia does with Wandale Robinson. But for me, if you're elite, that's kind of going to be the theme. You go handle business at home. We just put out that visit list. I mean, that was incredible once we confirmed everything and names. So if you're not a member of Dogs 247, that visit list right there is as good as I've seen under Kirby Smart, minus the Notre Dame game. So my message is, if you're elite, you go handle this game. You take care of business. I don't care if it's JT Daniels, Stetson Bennett. On paper, you're the better team. Go out and continue to prove it each week. Could not ask for a better atmosphere. Every single eye almost in college football media is on this game. Game day's in town. SEC Nation's in town. If you're elite, you handle business this weekend.
All right, guys, it's break time, and I've said it before. Y'all don't crack up this time. Burn them if you got them. You got 30 seconds. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Kip, you are up, okay? Thoughts going into this game all week long? Something consistent that you felt all week about this game?
I think that Kentucky hasn't really been tested on the road. You did kind of look at their schedule. There's a little bit of fool's gold in there in the fact that they've only played at South Carolina so far this year. And so that game was in the middle of a stretch of one possession wins for them. And then at the same time, you kind of look at the fact that they – turn the ball over a lot. I mean, 12 turnovers in six games is pretty rough, and they're not getting the ball back. They're not getting turnovers on their side either. So it just, you know, that's kind of the way I felt about this game all week, is that Kentucky, a team that I said before the season I thought would probably end up being number two in the East, really thought that they had a chance to kind of take that next step. And obviously so far they've done really well, but I mean, they got a heck of a schedule coming up still. They got to go. I mean, their road games are coming up. You know, I think in the end, they'll still end up being number two, but it's a big step going from number two to number one, I think, right now. There's some separation there, and I think we're going to see that this weekend. And I just don't think they've played in an atmosphere, again, like I said, having only had to play at South Carolina so far this year. It's going to be a little different in Athens. They've already shown they can do it at noon. You know, at 3:30, I think that, you know, the crowd will still be there. It's a team that really hasn't had – I mean, I think they're second in the conference in penalties, but I just think it's going to be a different atmosphere in Sanford. I think we're going to find out that – I think they're a little bit of fool's gold as far as just where they are. I mean, we've kind of seen that with a couple teams that Georgia's played this year that, you know, it's made to seem that it could be a trap game. It could be a close game. I just think that there's going to be some significant separation in these teams, especially, you know, as far as Kentucky's offense is concerned, trying to get anything going in the ground game. I like Chris Rodriguez a lot. Kavassier Smoke, you know, two guys from Wetumpka, Alabama, and I believe Olaf McDonough High School in Georgia, two guys that have, you know, done a really good job for them and made things a little bit easier for that offense. But it's not going to be easy for the offense against Georgia. And I think that's going to make it real tough for them to kind of get things going in the end. So, you know, I think the line right now is kind of been, what, between 21 and 23 points all week. I don't see an issue with that. In fact, I think Georgia wins this one going away, and you know, and the third quarter, it's you know, they've already covered going into halftime. I think there's a good chance of that. I think in the end, Kentucky doesn't get in the end zone. They turn the ball over again, and I think that you look at last year's game, it was kind of a battle of the ground game. And For Georgia, I think we've started to see Zamir White start to get, you know, real strong in the second half. And I think this could be that game. He hasn't had 20 carries yet this year. He hasn't had to. But I think they get him lathered up in this game. I think he goes, what, 22 for, you know, maybe 140, 150, gets in the end zone. And, you know, has a strong stretch right now. Starts to emerge as one of the better backs in the SEC. He's starting to see some more explosiveness from him each week. So I got Zamir White as my player of the game, and I got Georgia winning this one 41-9.
Who you got? Player, you got Zamir White as the player of the game?
Mm-hmm.
Good deal. Good deal. All right, Rusty, what you got as far as the pick goes?
This stat was given to me this morning on a conference call, a different call for high school football. Our good buddy Brandon Adams over at Dog Nation Daily told me that Georgia is 0-5 versus a spread with two outright losses under Kirby Smart going into the bye week, which was interesting. You know, that was interesting. Two outright losses, 0-5 against the spread. So there's that. And I'm sure that's been brought up I'm sure that's been brought up, that the two losses to this team going into bye weeks. But I feel like this team is there. The leadership's there. Obviously the personnel's there. I like this matchup for Georgia. Last week, I predicted 24-6. They got a touchdown. I think we're all pretty much in the same area of scores last week. And, you know, they got a touchdown. Tank Bigsby, heck of a run. This week, unless something crazy happens, I just think Georgia's going to be too much for Kentucky. They don't turn the ball over. A little bit banged up. So I'm going to go Georgia 31, and I'm going to go 6 again, and we'll see if Georgia can keep them out. But I think as of right now, I would say, you know, later, I would take what we're doing now. I'd lay the points for Georgia and do it. So I'm going to say Georgia, I'm going to go 31 to 6 final. And I'm going to go back. I'll go back, and I think it's time for Brock Bowers, because I think some other guys are going to be in there, going to be some focus. I'm assuming Stetson Bennett, Miss JT Daniels. He's been a target of both of those guys. I think it's time to get Brock Bowers back involved with this, and they've seen how some defenses shell him in some situations, so you scheme that up to get him more touches. I think Brock Bowers scores a touchdown, and I think he has 5 or 6 good targets, and he might wind up to, you know, Ladd McConkey had the yardage last week. He's going to get some attention. That's going to free some things up in the middle of the field, and I think Brock Bowers is going to be the beneficiary of that, and I'll go with him as player of the game.
Yeah, one thing I've thought about all week is the parallels between Kentucky and Arkansas. Two teams, blue-collar head coaches, physical teams that play hard. You know, Mark Stoops, I think, is obviously further along in building his program, but I think they're similar in talent level, similar in style in a lot of ways, run-first teams. You kind of get the picture there. And listen, I have a lot of respect for teams like that. I got a lot of respect for, you know, Sam Pittman. I got a lot of respect for Mark Stoops. I think both of them are doing an incredible job at schools where it's not super easy to do an incredible job. It's not super easy to win a lot of games. And if you would have told somebody 5, 6, 7 years ago, hey, Arkansas and Kentucky after you know, 6 games in the 2021 season, those teams are going to be combined 10-2 with, you know, with one of those losses being, you know, an incredibly competitive game with Arkansas. So I think these two teams are so similar. And I think the result ultimately is going to be pretty similar too, but for different reasons. One, Kentucky's beat up on the defensive line, and that's just not where you want to be beat up against Georgia. So is Kentucky going to have to try and borrow and you know, from the secondary, borrow from the rest of the defense to try and not die by 1,000 cuts against Georgia like Arkansas did? Because I can't imagine a guy like Mark Stoops, a defensive coach, is just going to kind of, you know, give up pride like that. You know, I mean, I'm not saying Barry Odom did, but they did. Arkansas did what they did and what they had been successful with. Kentucky is not, I just don't think they're going to let Georgia do that. I mean, Georgia may do it anyway, but I think they're going to try to stop the run. And I think the passing game has a pretty solid game. I really do. I think Georgia's going to hit some big plays in this one. I think Kentucky is going to pay the price for having to come up and stop the run. And, you know, I really like, you know, I don't care if it's just JT Daniels or Stetson Bennett. Both of them have proved that they can stretch the field. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see what Georgia ever does with a four-quarter game as far as explosive play goes. You see those explosive play stats, and most of them don't take into account the fact that 20-plus minutes of basically every game, Georgia's letting the air out of the football and, you know, running it into the teeth of big boxes because they're trying to get out of town. And, you know, I think Georgia's going to be a little healthier receiver this year. This week, you know, I've tossed around a couple scores this week, but I think Kentucky's going to get a touchdown late in this one. I think Kentucky's run game, as physical as it is going to find a way to kind of mash out a drive, maybe in the, you know, early to mid fourth quarter, and figure out a way to score a touchdown. And I think they're going to get one score early. It's just not going to be a touchdown. I like Georgia 38-10 in this one. I really think Georgia's going to throw the ball well. I think they're going to hit some explosive plays early. And I like what Kip said about Georgia approaching a cover in the first half. And I think that's something that Georgia's going to come out and start fast. That environment, we've seen how Georgia plays in front of its home environment whenever it's like it is. And it was that way to an extent for UAB because it was the home opener. It was that way for South Carolina because it was a night game. It was that way for Arkansas because Kirby Smart asked for it. And it's going to be that way again this week because it's a big game. And I'm with Rusty on this. I think this is a different Georgia football team. And I also think that, you know, what I had a better tell me a little while back, this kind of stuck with me, is there's one team every year that you just kind of ride them no matter what. They buck all the trends, they cover, they win you money. I think Georgia covers in this one 38-10. And I like A.D. Mitchell for player of the game. I think that, you know, Ladd McConkey's probably earned himself some attention. I think Brock Bowers has earned himself some attention. So pick your poison, and it's going to be A.D. Mitchell is the guy who maybe has a game kind of like South Carolina, maybe an extra catch or two to get him to that 100-yard mark. But I think he'll be the player of the game. And I think you're going to have two or three Georgia tailbacks right there over 50 yards. Georgia throws for 250, rushes for right around 200, and moves to 7-0 in the season going into the bye week and getting ready for the cocktail party. Any parting shots before we get going here?
I think it's impressive what you said. If Georgia runs for that, I don't think a team's run for over 175 on Kentucky this year. So,
well, Kentucky had Octavius Oxendine in those games, mm-hmm. and he's a stud. He's a good player. I went back and watched them, and he really stood out. No Marquand McCall, no Octavius Oxendine.
No one's thrown for over 300 either. So it's just kind of like Arkansas. It's just that bend but don't break type defense, but
really solid football team, like a really good solid football team that's probably, I don't even want to say they're not going to beat themselves, even though the last couple games they haven't really been bitten by the turnover bug, but you know, they play hard, they play four quarters. You're not going to just outlast them and get them to give up, but at the same time, I just think Georgia's going to be a little bit too much for them. 38-10 is my pick, and I think all of us pick Georgia to cover. So those of you out there who, you know, talk about us clipping coupons, we ain't clipping no coupons, man. We ain't clipping no coupons. We're picking Georgia to cover again.
Full price. Again.
All right, guys, want to go ahead and give everybody a heads up on this, okay? Schedule next week's probably going to be a little bit different. There's no press conference on Monday. We will be back with you two times at least next week, probably do a couple mailbags and really get to some questions, maybe dig in on some recruiting and get into that type of stuff. And we'll also be back with you Saturday after the game. I believe that's going to be Kip on the call there. Kip will be handling that for us, and that'll be that. So, but for this episode of the Junkyard Dogcast, I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. They're Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell from the same place, and y'all take it easy.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.